Welcome to the Big Success Podcast, cutting-edge conversations on business and personal success, as well as how to level up. Here's your host, number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars, and BS stands for Big Success and Brad Sugars. That's right. This week, we're amazingly lucky to be joined by Scott McCain. Scott, the author of the book Iconic. Obviously, it's an amazing book because it's called Iconic, but it was listed as a top 10 business books in its first year released by Forbes, and that's because it's so crazy good. How you can build an amazing business, how you can build an amazing brand. We're talking success with Scott today. Now, if you talk about success, this is a guy who was booked by Arnold Schwarzenegger to give a presentation at the White House in front of the president. That's the level of success we're talking about here, and that's the man we're going to be learning from. So jump in, take notes, follow along the Big Success Podcast. At the end, I'll give you the show notes, and you can take a look at how you can connect with Scott. Well, hey, Scott, welcome to the podcast. Big success is here, and big success you've had, and we're going to chat all about it.
I appreciate it, Brad. It's always great being with you. And I thank you for the privilege of being with you on the show today.
You know, when we talk about big success, we always start with the same question. What is success to you? What's your version of how would you describe success?
For me, success is being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it in the way that you choose to do it. that means that, you know, it encompasses. For me, that definition of success encompasses financial, it encompasses personal, and it encompasses professional. Mm-hmm. That for me is my personal approach to it, my definition of it.
Yeah, I love that. And I've heard someone say that, because obviously I do this a little bit interviewing people, I've heard someone say, with the people you want to do it with as well. I think that's an important one. You know, you and I got to hang out in Hawaii just recently, and I think it's fun to do those things with the right people.
I couldn't agree more. And that's going to be tacked onto my definition from now on, right? Because, you know, but let's face it. There are times in your progress to success that you have to deal with jerks, and you have to deal with people that you don't want to be around. And I think that's one of the great things that comes as you become more successful, is that you don't have to, you know, I've seen the book called The No Asshole Rule. And I love the title of that book, because that's what you aspire to. It's part of what I wanted to, that's part of why I wanted to become successful. Okay. So I didn't have to work with the bosses that were jerks. I didn't have to work with the clients that were jerks. And not to, hey, no matter how successful you become, you're still going to run across those people. But to be able to choose to be around great people all the time just continues to elevate the success.
Yeah, well, let's flip that back just for a second. A big part of your success is the people you've hung out with. I know you hang out with a bunch of speakers and authors on a regular basis, and you hone your skills with them. Explain more about why you do that.
Well, you know, it's funny, Brad. I haven't had a chance to tell you this, but I was just talking about you day before yesterday with Dr. Nito Quibain, who's the president of High Point University, but who came here as an immigrant from Lebanon with no money, didn't speak the language, is now on the board of directors of Truist Bank, the seventh largest financial institution in the world. He is a multi-millionaire. He is a winner of the Horatio Alger Award. And that was part of what we were talking about. And I was talking about this conversation that you and I had, and how you guys need to meet. Successful people introduce successful people to other successful people, right? It continues to elevate. And that's one of the things that I've noticed, is that those people charge my battery. And it makes me want to be more successful. And I also find that there's, in most situations, there's less rivalry and less jealousy among people of that level of success. We tend to contribute to each other, and we want to help each other. And we want to find avenues of mutual opportunity for each other. So you hit on a really, really important point. And we get in these little misery circles sometimes, you know, and in the early part of our work. And it's who can top this with who had it worst. And when you play that game, you're never going to be successful, because successful people don't do that. Yeah. And you learn that by being around better people and successful people. When I say better people, I don't mean that any individual is better than another individual, but I mean they might have better goals, better aspirations,
more
better motivation.
I'm way more blunt than that, buddy. You know that. Some people are better people than other people. There's no two ways about it. Some people are assholes in your no asshole rule. And yeah. So that does happen.
You're right. Some people get triggered by saying that, you know, person A is better than person B. And hey, you know, we're as the saying goes, we're all created equal, but we don't end up equal. And that is what that's determined not by, you know, speaking of Nito Cobain. I mean, here's a guy from Lebanon that comes to the country with no money, doesn't even speak the language, and ends up a multi-millionaire. And I've asked him several times. We've been friends for 35, 40 years. You know, and I asked him, how does that happen? And he said, because I see opportunity where other people see focus on disadvantage. And it's just what makes us, and that works for all of us, regardless of where we're from and where we're starting now.
Yeah. You know, I once read a book that talked about the millionaire status in America. It's called The Millionaire Next Door, and it talked about the disproportionate number of immigrants that became millionaires in America. And I think it's because of what you just mentioned. They see opportunity. When you're born with so much opportunity around you, you kind of get blind to it in many cases. And that's what I think. A lot of success is noticing the opportunities. But I want to go back a little bit. When did you choose success? Because, you know, success is not something that just happens. You actually have to, at some point in your life, choose, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be number one, or I'm going to be in amongst the best. When did you choose it? Was there a particular point, or was it a gradual thing?
It was the summer before my freshman year in high school. I was sitting on the next to the last row of Loeb Playhouse at Purdue University, attending my first convention as a member of the FFA, which at that time stood for Future Farmers of America. And they had a speaker come in and he spoke to the convention. It was the first time I'd ever heard an outside speaker. And it was the first time in my life I thought I could be more than a grocery store owner, small-time farmer in Crothersville, Indiana. Not that there's anything wrong with choosing that, because that was the path my dad took, and there's people that feel very successful there, but I knew it wasn't for me. And a speaker opened my eyes and began my journey. I won't say that that was the exact moment, but that was the moment I started exploring possibilities that were new to me. Thinking about goal setting, thinking about, you know, what could you achieve in your life in a way different from the daily mundane trap that so many people get caught up in, and so many of the people that I was living in my small community were caught up in.
Yeah. I love that story. And I think every time I ask that question, it's amazing that there's almost always a guide or a mentor or someone that helped people make that. So let's then go to the next thing. How does success happen? Because this is the subject of the day. How does success actually happen?
Wow. What a great question, Brad. I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I think it's a combination of aspirations and diligence. You have to have the aspiration, right? I mean, the metaphor has been overused, but I can't imagine playing football on a field with no yardage markers and no goal line, right? I mean, if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. We've heard that a million times, but the reason it's a cliche is because it's so doggone true. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have a target to shoot for. People aren't motivated by generalizations. They get motivated by specifics. So there has to be a specific aspiration. But then, just like in anything else, you got to do the reps. I mean, I have people come up to me after a speech sometimes and say, gosh, I'd give anything if I could give a speech like you. And my standard response is, if you would have given what I have given, you would be able to get up and give a speech like me. You know, people see people see me on the big stage at BizX or at other conferences. Man, they don't see 30 years ago with that bar across the back of my car so I could hang my clothes up in the back seat, driving from Ottumwa, Iowa to Cedar Rapids in the middle of the night, you know, to give a speech for $200. I mean, you've got to do the reps. You've got to put in your time. And there are hacks and there are learning methods that can help you avoid some of the mistakes, but those can never take away just the showing up and being there and doing it. You know, you get better at sales by making more sales calls. You get better at speaking by giving more speeches. Yeah. And it's that combination that you continue to learn so you avoid mistakes, but you have the goal in mind and you do the reps that it takes to get there.
So let's flip that over again then. How can failure teach success? Because you and I both know we didn't get here without making mistakes and having some learning experiences along the way.
Yeah, and that's why mentors are so important. And I think we tend to think of a mentor as a person that we know individually. But, you know, I shook hands with Jim Rohn one time, yet I consider him, as I know you do as well, a great mentor, because we have learned from the audios and the videos and the training that he's left behind. I had the good fortune to know Zig Ziglar, and the mentorship there wasn't intensive in terms of time, but it was significant in terms of relevance, because I got to see that he lived what he talked about. Because we've all seen those folks that stand on stage and say one thing, and off stage there's something else. The chance to see the congruency in his life was really significant. So I would encourage folks to get training, right? I mean, to find a mentor, to get coaching. I have a speech coach. You know, I mean, you continue to learn, you continue to grow. And to me, success is not something that you cross this goal line, because some of the saddest people I know are wealthy people who feel warehoused. They got to a certain point and they stopped doing the things that got them to that point. So there's nothing for them to live for, nothing that drives them, nothing that I have a speaker friend who retired, and he retired at age 67. And the next day he was an old man because he had nothing to go for, nothing to live for. George Burns, who lived to be 100, said, "I can't die. I'm booked."
I love it. So let's go to, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk about three main subjects: success in being in your iconic branding, how to be distinctive, and how to build that customer experience. You're with Brad Sugars on the Big Success Podcast. We're with Scott McCain today. We'll be back in a moment.
Start living your life on purpose and with a plan. As Brad Sugars teaches, you only get 4,000 weeks, so learn the principles of success and make the most of your life. Join Brad's Purpose event now and create the life that you deserve. Visit bradsugars.com to attend this program as a standalone or as part of Brad Sugars' Entrepreneurial University.
Welcome back to the Big Success Podcast. You're with Brad Sugars and our guest today, Scott McCain. Scott, you're a genius when it comes to branding. That is one of the things that I absolutely love learning from you. When you wrote the book Iconic and you start to think about success in being iconic, what are some of the absolute fundamentals for someone in their business or in their personal life to be iconic, I guess?
Well, that's a great question, Brad. It gets back to one of the things we've talked about, and that is playing the game your way. One of the things that I found about iconic individual performers and iconic organizations is that they were aware of the marketplace. Obviously, they're aware of their competition, but they're not obsessed with it. They have found a way to play the game their way. I don't think Tim Cook of Apple goes to bed at night worrying about what Microsoft or Samsung is going to be doing next. Apple's going to chart their own course. But I'll guarantee you the CEOs of Samsung and Microsoft, they're worrying about what Apple's next move is. Iconic performers find something unique. They chart their own course. And as critically, personally, as well as professionally, you know, you've met my wife, Tammy. I did not get down on bended knee and hold that little box with the diamond ring in it and look up in her eyes and say, "Honey, will you marry me? You're just like every other woman I ever dated."
Right? I mean, I hope you didn't.
you're attracted to the uniqueness. You're special. You're different. And one of the problems I see in a lot of businesses and in a lot of careers is, you know, it gets back to what we were talking about earlier about a mentor. I learn from the mentor, but I shouldn't impersonate the mentor. I learn from the mentor. I could model it, but I can't be an imitation. You know, I used to do entertainment reports that were syndicated to 100 TV stations around the world. And one of the things I found that was interesting about that was, you know, when Elvis was so popular, everybody thought, who's the next Elvis? Well, the next Elvis was the Beatles.
Yeah.
They were nothing like Elvis. And the next Beatles, it was Michael Jackson, who's nothing like the Beatles. And if we look at sales in terms of sales of concert tickets and of music, the next Michael Jackson was Garth Brooks, who is obviously nothing like Michael Jackson, right? And so the next of something is never going to be an imitation of what was before. So iconic performers chart their own path, whether it's as an organization or whether it's as an individual. They define their uniqueness and they exploit that uniqueness. business.
Yeah, it's hard to disrupt or innovate if you're following. It's always going to be there.
Yes,
so that leads
to
distinction then. The other amazing book of yours, and one of the things that I love learning from you is about how you create that distinction. So how does a business succeed in going from being the same to actually being distinct and being different? How do they do that?
There's a quick four-step process, Brad. The first one is clarity. You got to know exactly who you are. You know, Zig talked about this many years ago. I'd rather be a meaningful specific than a wandering generality. That's such a great line. Distinction, and there's something you're very, very clear about who and what you are. I made that mistake early in my business. You know, somebody said, we need a speech. You know, what do you talk about? I said, about an hour. You know, what do you want me to talk about? I'll talk about anything. You gotta check that'll clear. I'll be there, man. It wasn't until I started doing this research and realized that if I focused on one particular aspect, that would grow my business more than trying to be all things to all people. So clarity is number one. Second, though, is creativity. You've got to find a unique twist that you can put on it. The example I use often is the Taylor family that starts a rental car business thinking how they can be different than the big players like Hertz and Avis. So they thought, what if we take the car to you rather than making you come and get the car? That was the beginning of Enterprise Rental Car, which is now bigger than Hertz and Avis, not because the product is different. The Ford I get is the same no matter who I get it from. But they found just a unique way to do that. So Jeff Bezos thinks, how can I be the Enterprise Rental Car of books? And then if I can get a book to your door, I can get anything to your door. And so sometimes it's cherry picking a great practice from another business outside your own, another industry outside your own. You know, what if Amazon was going to run my business? How would they run it differently than I'm running it? Something unique, something creative. Third is communication, and that's the power of story. How do we create a compelling narrative? I go on to websites all the time. You and I have talked about this, Brad, and you just see a list of qualifications or a resume thinking that is going to compel somebody to do business with you. It's exactly the opposite. We've got to hook them with a compelling story that gets people interested and engaged and wanting to know more and wanting to connect with you. So communication is third, and then fourth is the customer experience. So it's how customers feel about doing business with us. So it's clarity, creativity, communication, customer experience.
So let's deal with that fourth one, because I think that is, and I know you're writing another book on this subject of the customer experience. When you talk about the customer experience, and you relayed a story to me recently about the dogs in the hotel, and maybe you could relay that story again, because I think that's something that when you talk about successful customer experiences, I don't think a lot of people really grasp how far you can go with that.
Oh, it's amazing. We did work with the Fairmont Scottsdale Princes, and all credit has to go to their CEO, Jack Miller. He is a visionary. He's an iconic leader, was recently named as the CEO of the year in the hospitality industry by the global association of those folks. We did a process with him about creating distinction, but the hotel doesn't create distinction. You got to break it down. What's a distinctive front desk? What's distinctive housekeeping? What's distinctive about the valet parkers? Those kinds of things. You break it down into each step. You know, in businesses, we have silos. We tend to think of business vertically, but our customers' experience is horizontally. So we bring it all together. So one of the things they talked about is we want to make you feel at home. Every resort has a beautiful, in Scottsdale, every resort has a beautiful lobby. They all have nice beds. They all have great rooms. We want to make you feel at home. So how do we do that? So they went out and they got two golden retrievers. They named them Bigsby and Griggs. And you walk in and they have a handler that takes care of them. But you walk in and the handler kind of observes if you're comfortable with the dog or not. But you walk in to check in and you stand there in line. Well, what takes your mind off the line? You've got two golden retrievers tail wagging, you know, the guy will give you a treat to give the dog. Man, you just feel so great. One of the most important things then that businesses can be asking and we can ask of ourselves is this question, and then what? So they said, and then what? How do we take this? So they created a coloring book featuring the characters of Bigsby and Griggs, the dogs, so that moms and dads can take that coloring book home to their kids and say, I met these dogs when they were on the road and they wanted me to give you this coloring book. So now the kids are coloring the coloring book. Talk about connection to the Scottsdale Princess. So kids want to go see it. So now the kids want to go on a vacation there. So they get more business. I'll tell you another quick thing. I didn't mention this in the speech, but another quick thing they did is it's the desert. They're a hotel that does conventions. The slowest time is Christmas, right? There's no meetings going on at Christmas. They created, an iconic show-stopping Christmas celebration there. Over a million lights, an ice skating rink, a little kid's train that runs around. The hotel is sold out now during what was formerly its highest vacancy rate because people from all over the country now are coming back. Or if you live in Phoenix and you have family coming in, you put them at the Scottsdale Princess so they have something to do. It is absolutely amazing. And it has become iconic in what they do. It is now the single most profitable of all of the Fairmont hotels in the world.
Wow. Oh, my God. So many things we can be learning. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Brad Sugars. I'm on the Big Success Podcast. Scott McCain's our guest. We're going to be back with him talking about leveling up, how to go from success to big success.
Scott McCain is a globally recognized authority on how organizations and professionals create distinction to attract and retain customers while standing out in a hyper-competitive marketplace. Find out more on scottmccain.com today.
Welcome back to the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars, your host. Scott McCain is our guest. Scott, so many great lessons in that last session about being iconic and distinctive and making a great customer experience. I want to move to then, how do you go from good to great? How do you go from even average to good or even great to iconic type thing? How does someone level up their success? They're already doing good, but we want to do great or better.
Well, you know, the opening line, and there's several things I disagree with in the book, Good to Great, but I love the opening line of that book. And the opening line is, good is the enemy of great. And when we see good enough as the enemy, rather than a stair step, we start doing the kind of thinking that's required for big success. See, I think big success also requires big thinking. To attain a higher level of success, it requires a different level of thinking. And it requires you constantly advancing your performance as you accelerate your goal. I want to accelerate my goals. When I first started in this business, to think that I could get in the Hall of Fame of professional speaking, you would think of that as a lifetime goal. What I realized pretty quickly is, I got to keep setting bigger goals. I've got to keep setting higher targets because that motivates us, that advances our performance. Good enough isn't. Yeah. And wherever you are, I want to have creative dissatisfaction in my life. Right?
I like that term.
I want to enjoy my life. Don't get me wrong. And you and I have been around each other enough. You know, I enjoy my life very much. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed. But I also want to have that creative dissatisfaction. There's more to do. And I found that true. You know, I'll bring him up again, that Dr. Cobain that I was with a couple of days ago. You know, he's talking about all these big plans and all the things that are coming next. And he says, so in the next 10 years, hey, man, the guy's in his mid-70s. And he's saying that here's where we're going in the next 10 years. Yeah. I find that so invigorating, so exciting. Yeah. And that's what I want to grow up to be.
I sat with someone just recently who was talking about complacency. And, you know, I use the term often in business that people are fat and happy, not meaning that they're physically fat, but, you know, they're making $1 million a year and they're like, well, you know, I got all I need. Well, business isn't about all you need. It's about the size of the marketplace. It's about serving the customers to the level with which you can do that. It's about building what you can possibly build. And that brings me to that question then, Scott, of, How do you get someone to move from that millionaire thinking to the billionaire thinking? You've worked with a lot of companies that are multi-billion dollar enterprises around the world, and they think massive. How does someone shift to that massive, big thinking?
Brad, I think it gets back to something that you brought up earlier, and that is you surround yourself as best you can with other people who think that way. It's hard to set with all the people around you are thinking small and you're the outlier thinking big. It can be done, but it's incredibly difficult to do. That's why my battery gets charged when I get around people that think bigger than I do. It gives me a way to elevate my own thinking. It's also why, you know, you said something in a why that I wrote down, and I have Tammy and I have talked about it. Nito Cabana and I talked about it, that you can't coach your own business. You can't coach yourself. And I have thought on that. Brad, thank you for that. That really hit me because, you know, I make my living going out and talking to other companies about how they can be better. But I realized I'm a pretty horrible coach for myself. And getting other input, getting other people to push you and to coach you. I was in a program over the weekend, and one of the things that the leader, the facilitator said is, if you leave here comfortable, I have not done my job. If you leave here and feel comfortable, I have not done my job. So I want to be around people who, again, make me creatively dissatisfied, that change my thinking and elevate my thinking. Because if you don't start with your thinking, your action is not going to follow. When you think bigger, you'll begin to act bigger. But it's hard to act bigger if you're thinking small.
Excellent, excellent answer. All right, let's do a quick rapid fire one here. What's your short answer to these ones? We got five subjects I like to ask about. What's your key to success in these five subjects? First one, relationships. What's your key to success?
Be there, be engaged, get off your phone, focus on the person that's right there in front of you.
Health. What's your key to success in health?
Health, it's doing the reps. It's knowing what you need to do and then doing it.
Wealth. What's your key to success in wealth?
Continue to be dissatisfied. Continue to strive for more. Yeah, I mean, there's all the other cliches about, you know, don't spend more than you make and all of that. But that also tends to make you a little bit comfortable. Get out there and find ways to continue to grow.
Next one. Vacations. Successful vacations. How do you have them?
Successful vacations come from planning. You know, that comes from saying, I will shut down for this period of time. I will focus on it. You know, so much of this, of all the answers to these, comes back to focus, right? So when it's time to play, it's time to play and shut it down, give yourself, and you know, it'd be amazing how many creative ideas you have when you do shut it down. The mind will begin to work at a different level, at a different pace. And so it's critically important. And again, just like with the relationships, when you're on vacation, be there.
Yeah. I refuse to take a 1 week vacation. I don't believe I can shut down in that time. I need to take a 4 week vacation type thing for my brain to get out of it. Okay. Last one. Fun.
You and I are just alike on that too, by the way. I'll take 2 days, 3 days, but I won't take a week.
Success in the world of fun, having fun. How do you be successful at having fun?
For me, success having fun is being around great people, having a great time. And that can, you don't have to be in, you know, paradise to have that happen. You could be having bourbon with your buddies in a dive bar and it happens. It's fun is about the experiences you have with the people that you want to be with.
Brilliant. All right. My final question. What's the best advice or the best quote you've ever heard on the subject of success?
It gets back to what Jim Rohn says, you know, when he talks about his mentor, Mr. Schoaf, and you know, everything that he talks about in terms of to be the kind of person who is worthy of the success that you would desire to attain. And when you grow yourself, you grow your business. And everything that, you know, there's so many of them, it's hard for me to pick one. But if you want to hear the best on success, just go listen to anything by Jim Rohn, because his talk about how to be successful, become the kind of person that is worthy of that type of success.
Scott McCain, thank you for being on the Big Success Podcast. We love hearing from you, and we wish you much more success in your life.
Always great being with you, my friend. See you soon. Thanks.
And that's the Big Success Podcast for today. Hopefully you took a lot of notes. Hopefully you learned a bunch. And hopefully you're going to take action on it. BS, Brad Sugars, Big Success, take action. Check all the show notes for all of the links. I'll make sure that you have links to every single thing that every speaker has in our show notes. Check them now. Click the links. Take advantage of it. And I'll speak to you again next time on the Big Success Podcast.
You've been listening to the Big Success Podcast with the number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars. To learn more about how to achieve business and personal success, as well as how to level up or listen to past episodes, visit www.bradsugars.com.